Well, this morning, I want to make my message very clear. It's going to be a lesson on laziness. And I know right away there's a response. One, it could be a positive one. It's like, you know, I never heard a message on laziness. And there you go. Thank you. And then there's could be already some nudging or some thoughts have crept into our minds. Maybe we're thinking about ourselves. Or maybe we're thinking about someone else. There also could be a negative response, like a little slouching, a little slumping, and maybe we thought, like, okay, Pastor, who put you up to this? Or maybe we even think, like, come on, we got consecutive 105 degree weather out here, and don't we deserve to be lazy on these days? We are going to talk about laziness because the Word of God talks about laziness. It's interesting, you could go to most households today and you could find perhaps some evidence of laziness, or maybe you've experienced some examples of laziness. How many of us have actually gone into the kitchen and we see examples of laziness? Or we open up the refrigerator and we reach for the carton of milk and it's empty. And you're like, okay, whoever was the last one should have thrown it away. Or maybe there's some examples of laziness in the bathroom, right? You sit down and you notice there's no tissues, there's just a little cardboard roll. Laziness. Evidence of laziness. Even our pop culture has chimed in on laziness. There's actually a song about slothfulness. It's actually called The Lazy Song. And it was by a recording artist, and I don't know if you know him, but his name was Bruno Mars. And no, it wasn't one of his 24K dance mix. But it was, he starts off with the opening line by saying, "Today I don't feel like doing nothing. I just want to lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up the phone, so leave a message at the tone, because today I'm not doing anything." Laziness. In the book of Proverbs, and this is where we're going, the Proverbs use the word sluggard. It's not a common term that we use, but a sluggard is used to describe a lazy person. One who is habitually lazy or gravitates toward inactiveness. And if you think about it, in the most profound wisdom literature book, the sluggard is mentioned, not once, but several times. And it's viewed as a subtle yet treacherous enemy to all. Laziness could be a lifestyle for some, but it's a temptation for all of us. And that is why in Proverbs 6:6, there's a wake-up call. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." If you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 to 16. 13 to 16. And as I do this message, just to let you know, we're going to have 3 points. One, we're going to talk about the characteristic of laziness. And so it's straight right out of your text. And just to let you know, there's 4 verses, there's going to be 4 points. Next, I'll be talking about the cautions about laziness. The cautions about laziness. And thirdly, I'll talk about in terms of considerable response to laziness. But let's read the word in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 16. The word of the Lord reads, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. And as I mentioned, there are four things here in the four verses that describes or characterize one who is a sluggard. So the first one is found in verse 13, and that is the one who is lazy has a habit of making imaginative excuses. One who is lazy has a habit of making imaginative excuses. The word imaginative, creative. Look, it says in the word, it says the sluggard says, there is a lion on the road. There's a lion in the streets. It doesn't take too much common sense to think that, well, first of all, there's no lions around here. They only exist in certain parts of the world. And they're not running down the streets right now. But here is a very creative, an imaginative response is basically an excuse. The lazy one is quite ingenious in inventing excuses and making things up. And sometimes in their making things up, the slothful ones manage to kind of convince himself, or we could also add herself to as well, of acts and facts that are completely non-existent. And so they may even convince others temporarily. And then the longer they go with these imaginary reasoning for their activity, the more they buy into it. They're the ones that are not going to get up. They're not going to be the ones that are not going to be responsive, not doing the right things or address issues that they should address. Friends, the real danger is not an imaginary lion in the street. The real danger is a roaring lion described as the devil in Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, who loves to come and lull people into loafing, to deceive people into delaying. The slothful is tricked by Satan. The lazy one has been played by Lucifer. The one who's determined to delay, to dilly-dally, to dawdle. Well, that's the first time I'm using that word, dawdle. Those are the ones who have been deceived. Those who have been deceived by the devil. And that is why we have to be very careful and understand the trappings. Even as a church, brothers and sisters, we are to encourage those who are faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. We are to be patient to all. But where we find that same verse is a strong thing that comes right before it. It says, I urge you, brothers. I exhort you. I encourage you. To what? To admonish those who are idle. First characteristic, those of lazy ones are the ones who make imaginary or imaginative excuses. The excuses just keep on coming. Secondly, second characteristics, it's right there in our text, he is hinged to the bed. He is hooked or hinged to the bed. They love their sleep, maybe too much. As the door turned on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. And we should recognize that the sluggard is attached, and that's why they were using the word hinge to the bed. It's fastened to that mattress, so to speak. He does not merely enjoy his bed and sleep. He's actually stuck in bed and in his sleep. And like a hinge, and we all know where hinges are and doors and cabinets and that sort of thing. There's only a certain amount of positions. There's only a certain amount of positions that we sleep into as well. Face down, face up and sideways. And you could find those who are lazy that have a habit of sleeping longer than usual. Now, if you knock on the door, the sluggard might not appreciate that, or the light, or even the nudging. He does not like to be approached directly, or even ask certain questions. Will you please do this? Or can you please pay attention to this? And they certainly do not like the following up. So when are you planning to do this? The one who is a sluggard stays fastened to his bed, does not even give up. The third characteristic kind of leads to one who doesn't give up. Oh, by the way, actually, let me pause that for a second. The questions, by the way, that come up to the sluggard, actually, there are some scriptural questions that come up to the sluggard. And I've got to mention the one in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. It says, how long will you lie there, sluggard? So it's not just your loved one who's nudging you or asking you. Even scripture tells us, how long are you going to lie there, you sluggard? And when will you get up from your sleep? Again, the one who is a sluggard is hinged to the bed. One who is a sluggard is also hopeless. Not just hinged, but hopeless in finishing task. The third verse that we read is, it says that the sluggard buries his hands in the dish, and it wears him out to even bring it back to his mouth. So this is a clear illustration of the one who is lazy doesn't finish what he starts. The food is prepared for him. The food is presented to him. It's placed right in front of him, and the sluggard is one who starts it but doesn't finish. And so the idea here is that they don't finish what they start. They keep on procrastinating. Here's another example in Proverbs 12:27. It says, the lazy man does not roast in his game, but the diligent man prizes in his possession. And so that verse is actually kind of like has the hunting vernacular with the emphasis on it. And the one who's diligent, and actually both the lazy one and the diligent one, they have somehow trapped or somehow pierced or have gathered up their particular hunt. But is the diligent one who picks it up and says this is his prized possession. But it's the lazy one who leaves it on the ground and carelesses about it. Quite a contrast. Sometimes we see it at home, right? At home, we do have, all of us have waste baskets. And it's very easy to throw the trash right there because most rooms has waste baskets all around us. Some of us make a game out of it. We try to toss it, you know, and see if we could make it. And some of us, we can see that we need some rebounding lessons. It's all over the place. Have you not finished what you have started? Is this a particular pattern of laziness? So already we talked about hopelessness. We already talked about in terms of one who is lazy is hinged to the bed. We talked about one who has habits of laziness. And now we talk about the fourth one is that the sluggard has a high view of himself. The sluggard has a high view of himself. And so if you notice in the text, it says the sluggard thinks he's wiser in his own eyes than seven men who could answer sensibly. So in other words, a sluggard or lazy one thinks he is better than you, or knows better than you, or anyone, or in this case, seven other ones. And seven is not just a magic number or anything, but if you just notice in the context, it just says, these are sensible ones. Perhaps these are your loved ones who are trying to encourage you. Perhaps these are friends that are trying to point out the obvious to you. The lazy one scorns his friends or even those who could even help him. So as we look at this list, the characteristics, does this describe us? Are we making more excuses than normal? Or how does laziness look in our lives? Ever thought about that? And if we don't know how it looks in our lives, like you could easily ask a loved one or the person that has lived with you, a roommate or something, and maybe they could share some things. How does laziness need to be addressed? How does laziness as a topic, is it a gospel issue? And that leads us to our second point. We took a look at the characteristics of laziness, and now we're going to take a look at the cautions about laziness. I'm going to center it upon sin, salvation, and sanctification. When we think about laziness, you should be thinking in terms of, it's not just simply a habit, it's really an offense to God. It's really an offense to God. The very fact that the topic of laziness is mentioned several times in the book of Proverbs, including that wake-up call in Proverbs 6 that says, go to the ant, you sluggard, watch your ways and be wise, it means it matters to God what you do. This is something that offends God. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, we know these are principles, perspectives for us to learn and to grow and to live wisely and skillfully. And so this matter comes up. Even the Lord Jesus himself strongly warned, not just against sluggishness or sloppiness, but more directly, about slothfulness. Remember the parable of the talents, where Jesus gave different men in terms of different talents. And he comes back and he finds out what they did with those particular talents. And the one who buried his talents and did nothing received the harshest rebuke, condemning that he buried his talent. Remember the term that Jesus used for the one who buried his talent, did nothing, who was idle? What did he say? Wicked and lazy servant. So when we think about it, laziness is not a sickness, but a sin that needs to be dealt with. Laziness is rooted in sin and has kept many from salvation. Have you ever heard the excuses for those who procrastinate when it comes to following Jesus? Have you ever noticed the lack of initiative of people themselves to understand or investigate the claims of Christ? That's why we need to pray for spiritual awakening. That's why we need to go and preach the gospel. If you're here today and you're not saved and need to be saved, please understand that and please know that God is not lazy in saving us. The song we sang, he is mighty to save, and indeed he is mighty to save. He has taken initiative by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Scripture tells us also in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so perhaps today you need to ask the Lord to wake you up from your spiritual slumber, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from your ways before him. Sin, salvation, sanctification, these are all cautions. And for the church, laziness or idleness is a serious offense to God, and it affects others. It's a sanctification concern. In the epistles, the letters to the church, we are warned not to be idle. We are encouraged to make the most of our times, for the days are evil. Paul wrote two letters to the church in Thessalonica. One letter primarily deals with the end times, and you can make the case the other letter had to do with idleness, about being lazy. Interesting, when they were talking about idleness in 2 Thessalonians, and actually in chapter 3, they do an entire chapter practically about laziness and idleness, and they use the word busybodies. Now, usually when we think of the word busybody, we don't think about somebody who is idle. But yet it's described, those who are idle, those who are lazy, are called busybodies. Those who are dilly-dallying, those who are wasting away in unproductive ways. So I had to give a little bit of thought on this. How could lazy people be described as busybodies? Well, think about this. Now, we could relate to this maybe in our youthful years, where we're supposed to be doing something. Homework, cleaning up a room, and all of a sudden we hear the footsteps of our parents, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, let me get busy real quick. Or let me start doing something so they would notice that I'm somewhat being productive. Well, it happens at home, it could happen at work. Maybe you've been loafing around at work and maybe the boss is coming around and all of a sudden it's like, oh, let's get busy. Busy bodies, frittering away, not being productive. In the Thessalonians context, by the way, those who were loafing, that they did not labor. They created additional and unnecessary burdens and distraction to those who live with them, those who work with them, or are supposed to work with them, and not just family, but also even a discouragement to the church family. Such laziness was so dire and detrimental to the gospel. Even Paul would give this shocking statements like, if they don't want to work, if they're not going to put the work in, let them not eat. He even doubles down and earlier by saying that we should even stay away from someone who is habitually lazy. So the Bible doesn't go soft on those who are slothful. But the Bible raises the stakes here and challenges. It's just not just uncharacteristic of what you should be, but even unchristian-like in terms of what you should be doing and why. Let me give you a couple of reasons. Laziness betrays the gospel. It portrays the gospel. You know the gospel. It doesn't demand that we do activity and good works up front. But we know that the transformation gospel produces activity in and through us. When we think about slothfulness, it actually dishonors. It dishonors the power, short-circuits the power and the strength that has come as we dwelt in Christ. Laziness slaps the God-given grace away. It betrays God's image in us. And we should remember, and I know it was taught this morning in terms of God's grace and our salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no man should boast." But it also goes on, "For we are created in his workmanship, created and purposed for good works, so that we should walk in them." So we should understand, as believers, your challenge to do good works, to not be weary in doing good, because of we are saved for a purpose, saved to make a difference as the Lord leads for his glory. A couple of responses. Considerable response. Our third point is, how are we going to apply this? How are we going to apply this? A considerable response to laziness. Someone once said that laziness affects the whole of our lives, the entirety of our lives. And if it grows, it grows with unperceived powers, as with every other sin. And as with every sin, it needs to be dealt ruthlessly, immediately, and consistently. It needs to be dealt with ruthlessly, immediately, and consistently. Maybe we have to ask ourselves what characteristics of a sluggard we see slipping into our lives. And how are we handling those characteristics? What neglected areas in our lives that need to be addressed ruthlessly, immediately, consistently? Derek Cunard, who wrote several commentaries, and he wrote one on Proverbs, he put it this way: the sluggard is an ordinary man who has too many excuses, too many refusal, too many postponements. It's been all gradual, almost imperceptible, as pleasant as falling asleep. Maybe we have to ask ourselves, are there too many excuses, even in how we relate in some of the most meaningful relationships and friendships that we have? And have we made too many refusal to even the gracious invites or even sound advice that our loved ones have given to us? Or how many postponements or how many delays do we keep on saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow? One last consideration. This comes from Scripture. It comes from the book of James. It says in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin." And so when we think about this topic of laziness, there's no room, or there should be no room, in the life of a believer. We do have a new nature. We are to be motivated with diligence. We are to persevere out of our love for Christ, who has redeemed us, who has saved us for a purpose. That old propensity towards sluggishness, towards laziness, and all other sin has now been replaced with a desire to live in a godly way. We got Christian lives to live, and we got Jesus Christ to give. As Christians, we know that our labors will be noticed. Our labors will be accountable, counted for. We'll be even rewarded by our Lord if we persevere and we stay active. And that is why even in Thessalonians and even in Galatians, they say the same thing: let us not become weary and doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Galatians goes on and says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who belong to the family of believers. We're familiar with Colossians. Whatever we should do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. We know it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom we serve. And so, as believers, we are motivated, we are empowered to serve, to labor, and to rely on God's strength to accomplish His will for our lives. And accomplishing His will means to evangelize and to disciples. Paul understood this. He says in Colossians, we proclaim Him, that is Christ, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And to this end he labors, struggling with all of his energy, which so powerfully works within me. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be idle when it comes to evangelism and discipleship. We should channel our energies and trust in the Lord and in His power to see how we could share the gospel and disciple others. We also know that the book of Revelation tells us that there is going to be no more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more sin, and that includes even laziness. And we will glorify the Lord forever. There will be no hindrance for us, not just to simply praise Him, but also to serve Him. And I think that Corinthians tells us best, that says, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you kind of catch the gist of these verses, it doesn't say take the foot off the pedal. It doesn't say in terms of being idle, but it says to put yourself fully into the works of the Lord. So as we listen to this lesson on laziness, perhaps it challenges us in terms of the characteristics that may be creeping into our lives. And perhaps we have to be cautious and even take some immediate action in terms of addressing those things in our lives. And thirdly, we need to be considerate in terms of our response to it. And as with the Lord's help, to make the most of our time, because we know that the days are evil. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray, and we do have to even respond, even asking your forgiveness, for not just being sluggish now and then, but even at times being a sluggard. We're all potentially lazy. It's very easy to be lazy at work, lazy at home, lazy in our relationships and friendships, and even in our endeavors as believers in terms of serving and doing ministry and following after you. There are times that we make promises that we don't keep. We say we would do it, but we don't. We may even say that we follow you, but we get distracted and we continue to make excuses. Father, our laziness shows us one thing. It shows us that we must turn to you. We must turn to Jesus. We must trust in Him. We must repent and rise in the strength and His might, and the power of His Holy Spirit, to live a life, to make a difference for you. And so, Father, we pray all these things and ask in Jesus' name, amen.